I want to thank Phil for leading our worship this evening, and thank Gareth also for leading us in prayer and reading to us from the Scriptures. Tonight we come back to this passage of Scripture that we have been looking at over the last few months, the passage called the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight we are going to look specifically at chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, that passage which Gareth read to us. I hope I haven't offended anyone with the title that I've given to the message this evening, but I've called it Don't Worry, Be Happy, a modern comment. And many people might be offended by it because, as Christians, we're not after happiness, we're after contentment in God. But some translations of the Beatitudes actually begin not with the word blessed, but with the word happy. So happy are the poor in spirit. And if you prefer, you could say, don't worry, be blessed. But tonight, I want us to know that happiness which comes from a right relationship with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we were looking at a fortnight or so ago, has been dealing with tensions in the Christian life. We want to do this, but this is what we do. We would like to be like that, but in fact, we are like this. And in the early part of the chapter, verses 1 to 18, he had been, if you like, looking at the tensions that we have when it comes to the religious life, giving to the needy, prayer and fasting. But a fortnight ago, we saw the tension that there is in the good things that God has given to us. God has blessed us here on earth. Very few of us know anything about hunger. Very few of us know what it is to go without a meal or not to have a home to live in. But the Lord is saying these things are not to be the first things in our lives. And there are two clear sections here in the second half of the chapter. The first section, from verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In the passage that we're going to concentrate on tonight, the Lord says, do not be anxious about your life. Don't let the necessities of life overwhelm you, but let them take their right place in our lives. And so we come to this section, verses 25 to 34. And the first thing that the Lord lays before us is the fact that there are necessities in life. There are things that we cannot do without, that are necessary for us. And he here deals with things that are so practical. Eating, drinking, your body, and clothes. Things to put on. Verse 25. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And what is the Lord saying? What is he doing? He's saying, I know what you need. I know the necessities of life. So often, our faith, our religion can be theological facts, and it can be to do with external rituals. Okay, we don't go through the rituals of the Roman Church or of the Anglican Church, but we can go through our rituals. We come to church at a certain time. We read, we pray, and woe betide us if we go outside of that. We can concentrate on the things that we believe, and we have got our theological facts. In effect, our religion could be reduced to books and buildings. Do we know what we believe? Are we going through the right things? And the Lord says, no, there is more to life. You are a body. You are a living being. And there are things that you need. And I recognize that. And I find this so encouraging that God meets us where we are. He doesn't pretend that we are something different. Remember, He has created us. He has given us the bodies that we have, and He has given us the needs that we have. So He says, yes, I know you've got these needs, but He then says, let's put this into perspective. And He says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And He's already addressed this Himself. In chapter 4, He was tempted to satisfy His hunger after a time of fasting. And Satan said to Him, look, you've got the power. Turn these stones into bread. And He turns round and He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He knows the needs, but He puts them into perspective. Isn't it all so easy to get uptight about what we think are the vital things in life? We have to make sure that we've got this. We have to make sure that we have got that. And the Lord is saying, yes, I know that you have those needs. And it is for that reason that I got Phil tonight to read 2 Kings 7. The people of God were in a time of famine because the city was surrounded and they couldn't get their food supplies in. And God, through His prophets, promised that there would be food. And one of the military leaders said, don't be ridiculous. Even if God was to open a window in heaven, then He couldn't supply food by tomorrow. But God did, didn't He? In a way, it could be seen as a miracle, and yet it was so practical. For some reason, the Syrian army had become disillusioned, deluded. They thought that they heard a mighty army coming, and they ran away, and they left everything. God provided. And the Lord here says, I know what you need. He actually cuts us down to size. Because there are times, friends, aren't there? And we feel as though we are number one. The world revolves around us. But what does the Lord say? Well, in verse 26, He says, look at the birds of the air. 28, consider the lilies of the field. Verse 30, He points us to the grass of the field. It's humbling, isn't it? We, with all our qualifications, we, with all our skills, God says, you like birds? You like grass? You like flowers? But He's saying more than that. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And He goes on, and He shows the faithfulness of God. God lets day follow night and night follow day. He makes sure that the seasons follow each other. He makes sure that the sun rises and the sun sets. God has got it all in control. If we're honest, many of us are practical evolutionists. We believe that it's all just happened. We don't think of the fact that God is in control. And that is what God is saying. Okay, it might be early summer. And it may be the time for the grass to grow and for the flowers to bloom. But it doesn't just happen. God is in control. And that is what Jesus is saying here. Yes, I know you've got these needs. But I will provide them in my way, and I am in control. Notice how he cuts the people of Israel down to size. Verse 29, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What was he saying? Well, the people of Israel looked back to Solomon. The reign when the temple was built, that glorious temple with so much gold, so much fine stone and timber, people look back. They remember the story of the Queen of Sheba when she came and she said, well, I'd heard tales about you, but the half was never told. And you think about this weekend, the pageant of British monarchy and all that will go on and all that has gone on. And God is saying, Solomon, that jewel in Israel's history was nothing compared to the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. And then he does something which many a Jew would find unforgiving. In verse 32, he compares the Jews to the Gentiles. And he says, if you're worrying about your clothing, if you're worrying about the next meal, if you are worrying about the type of house that you have, well, the Gentiles seek after these things. Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Friends, the point that the Lord Jesus Christ is making here is that when your life, when my life is taken up with a constant collection of goods in indulgence or in hoarding, then we've lost our perspectives on life. I heard recently of a woman who'd gone out shopping and on one shopping trip had bought 6 pairs of shoes. Ladies, I'm not having a go at you, but I'm just putting it into perspective. Is it really necessary to buy 6 pairs of shoes at one time? You might need them. In different situations, different types of shoes. But where are our perspectives? And that's what the Lord is saying. Yes, there are necessities in life, but make sure that you have them in perspective. He then focuses on faith. And I want to draw out from this passage now some of the facts of faith that should undergird our relationship with God. Jesus is not here preaching a cold theological lecture on the fact that God reigns in heaven and on earth. But he wants to show that, yes, God is in control, but he is in control and he is concerned. Verse 26, he's talking there about the birds of the air. And he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Notice, he doesn't say, the Creator God. He doesn't say, the Sovereign God. He says, your heavenly Father. What's he doing? He's building on the prayer that he has just taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father who art in heaven. And he is saying, don't put God as some distant spirit who is not interested. He is our Father. He is the one who cares for us. He cares for the birds of the air and he feeds them. And he will do exactly the same for us. One of the beauties, isn't it, of going on holiday into the countryside is that you see birds that perhaps you've never seen before. Driving along the motorway these days, there seems to be an increase in birds of prey that hover over the motorways. And they show us a picture of the diversity of our God. The grain eaters to the meat eaters. The eagle that soars in the mountain. The seabirds, the albatross, the seagulls that seem to float over the oceans. All of them have been made by God. Your Heavenly Father, is He your Heavenly Father?
Yes.
Have you asked Him to save you? Thank you for that, Bobby. That's encouragement. Your Heavenly Father knows. He needs. That He knows what we need. And then He says, are you not of more value than they? He asks a question. Are you not of more value than they? He asks a question, but He expects a positive answer. Friends, every person in this building tonight is of more value than the birds of the air, than the grass of the field. Why? God created you in His image. God created you for fellowship with Him. We live in a world that tragically deals in a harsh way with so many of God's creatures. Children are abused. People are neglected. And yet each of them has been created by God. Excuse me. We were created by God and for fellowship with Him in a way that no other creature has been. Tonight, I want you, if you are an unconverted person, I want you to recognize how important you are, because God has given you life. But if you're saved tonight, I want you to recognize how doubly important you are, because God sent His Son to pay the price of your sin so that you might spend eternity with Him. That's how valuable a Christian is. We are not to despise each other. We are not to look down our nose at each other, because you are so valuable in the sight of God that He sent His Son to die in your place. But there's another fact of our faith, that God clothes the grass of the field. Excuse me. Christ points His hearers and us to the ongoing work of God. God's rule in nature is not haphazard. It isn't the survival of the fittest, as the evolutionists would have us believe. No, there is order. There is discipline. There is care. And each grass blade that grows has grown under the authority of God. And He uses that point to then drive home His care for us. At the end of verse 32, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God's knowledge is not simply an intellectual knowledge. I might know that if I put the key in the ignition of my car and turn it on, that the engine will start. Well, most times it will. But I don't know how to explain that. But what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here is, God knows your name, He knows who you are, and He knows your needs. He sees us as a father sees his children. So these first two points this evening, the necessities of life and the facts of faith, they point out two things to us. Our perspective on life, our concern over our needs and our wants. How often do we worry about the events of life? But the second thing that it shows us is God's knowledge and God's provision. Friends, in a way, we can never use that expression, this God-forsaken land. God has not forsaken his creation. God may have turned the smile of his face away, but he has not forsaken us. God cares. So if we've got these concerns, and yet God cares, how do we bring these two things together? How do we stop ourselves worrying about the needs of life? Well, that brings me to my third heading this evening, God's saving solution. And this is summarized wonderfully in the last two verses of our reading. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Notice the priorities that Christ gives. He doesn't say, get your life in order. He doesn't say, stop worrying about these things. Admittedly, at the beginning of this section, he said, don't be anxious about your life. But as he's bringing it together, what does he say? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's he saying? He's saying, go to God. Go and ask God to help you. Realize that God is interested. Friends, Satan will say to us, you've fallen, you've sinned, you've failed. God doesn't care about you. But that isn't what Christ is saying here. Christ is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, we go back to the Lord's Prayer. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ, in effect, is answering that prayer here. He is saying, you want God to rule on heaven, in heaven and on earth? Then he has to rule in your heart. You are not to live your life thinking, I must do this, I must do that. I've got to work 24 hours a day in order to make sure that I meet all of my needs. No. The Lord is saying, seek God. Seek his kingdom. Actually, ask God as you plan your day, as you plan your week, as you plan your month, as you plan your year. Do you seek God's will? Lord, is this a good use of time? Lord, is this a good use of money? Am I furthering the kingdom of God by giving this time to this activity? And that is what the Lord is driving home here. In chapter 5, he had shown where people had got their priorities wrong. And he said, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. And he's driving this home again. Friends, he has taught about religion. We are not to piously say, well, I've given my offerings. I have said my prayers. I fast. And think that that is it. No, friends. There has to be that daily walk with God. What is the priority of your life? What are the priorities for us as a church? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are to be people of prayer. People who pray as individuals. People who pray together as a church and as those called of God. The priorities of our life are to do the will of God and to grow in holiness. So God says, if you're worrying about these things, go to him. Talk to him. Don't just say empty prayers, but talk to him about the things that concern you. So that's the priority in the way that God will save us. But what is the promise? Well, at the end of verse 33 it says, and all these things will be added to you. Not the luxuries of life, but the necessities of life. God nowhere promises to fill our bank accounts, but he does promise to meet our needs. Let me ask you, friends, are there times when you are angry with God because he hasn't answered your prayer, because he hasn't met your need? Well, is your anger justified? Could it be that God has not answered your prayer because you weren't praying for your needs, but you were praying for your greed? Could it be that you were praying not that you might be satisfied, but that you might break the 10th commandment and be driven by covetousness? All these things, the things that you need in life, will be added to you. I thank God that I stand before you tonight as one who has known the provision of God. I thank God that there have been times, and Linda and I, as a family, or in ministry at different times, we have faced issues, and we've been able to go to God, and we have proven the reality of this promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The priorities, a promise, and then a perspective. Verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Back in Deuteronomy, God had promised, as your days, so shall your strength be. When the people of Israel went through the wilderness, God provided manna for them, miraculous food, but he only provided enough for a day at a time. If they tried to gather a little bit extra for tomorrow, it rotted. The only day that they were allowed 2 day supply was the day before the Sabbath. Friends, do you know what it is to live a day at a time? Or do you constantly want to be so in control that you want to know what is going to happen tomorrow? You want it all laid out. We have to be wise, and we have to make proper preparation. But friends, not one of us knows what tomorrow holds. Today is the only day that we have. The Lord actually has addressed this in an earlier verse, in verse 27. He says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? None of us can we? We live in a day when we thank God for the advances in medicine, but each of us is going to die, and each of us knows the reality that we cannot change that. King Canute in history could not hold back the tide. We cannot adjust the clock of our lives. Friends, let us trust God today, and let us believe that the future is in his hands. He sent his Son into the world at the appointed time to pay the price of our sin in order to prepare for eternity. So we have to say our times are in his hands. We will trust him today. We will trust him to look after tomorrow. Life is demanding, friends. It's the effect of the fall, and it's also the effect of us living, trying to work things out ourselves. The Lord Jesus warned us, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We have the certainty, friends, that when God and His will is the focus of our lives, He will supply all our need according to His riches in glory. Seek therefore first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen.